Welcome to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective. The coaching perspective with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Great to be in studio with you here today. Beautiful sunny day in California. And we have a guest with us today, Betsy Gooding, who's going to be talking about Free Yourself from Perfectionism. Betsy is the author of The Magic of Saying Yes, Answering Your Heart's True Calling. And strangely enough, she left a law career to guide others to hear and follow their truth. And through her seminars and coaching, she's helped thousands of people do the work they love or love the work they do. And a little pressure today on myself and the producer because Betsy's coming to us with 2 years' experience of doing her own weekly radio show. So I guess we're going to have to be on our best behavior. Welcome, Betsy.
Thank you so much, Doug. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, you aren't more excited than I am. This is great. And it was a pleasure meeting with you in the green room ahead of time and getting to know a little bit more.
Pleasure to get to know you as well. I'm so happy to be talking with you about this great topic.
And Betsy is just sort of resettling back home in Southern California after many years living in Seattle. So welcome back to God's country here.
Oh my gosh, it feels so good to put my feet in the sand and walk on the beach. I'm so happy here. Thank you.
Oh, good. Well, look, let's jump right in. Tell the audience a little bit about what you did before what you're doing now. What's the background on Betsy?
Okay, well, I was a practicing attorney for about 6 years, and I went to law school because I have a bleeding heart, and I wanted to, you know, really help people with matters of life that were very significant to them in their lives. But I ended up spending so much time in the law library doing writing and research, and I always felt like I left a part of who I really was, my creative self, so to speak, at the door of the law firm door. And just never felt like I could bring my whole self to the practice of law. At the same time, I had two young daughters and wanted to spend as much time as I could with them. And so I decided to take a break from the law and do soul searching and just figure out if law isn't my passion, if this really wasn't what I was meant to be doing after investing all that time, money, and energy in a law career,
You didn't think of that beforehand.
Exactly. And so I decided to just really do some in-depth, assessments of my life and my values and what I really wanted to do at that point. And that's when this most amazing thing happened to me. I did a bunch of journaling one night about, self-inquiry. What is my passion? What would I love to do? If I weren't afraid, what would I do? And that night, in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., I had this dream where I was standing on a stage in a dark room. It was like one of those basement bars, red velvet curtain behind me, and I was doing stand-up comedy.
Oh, wow.
In my dream. And I am telling you, it was so, some dreams you just kind of, they drift away after your morning coffee, but this was one of those dreams that I was up, I was in the middle of the night, I was journaling in my journal, joke material. I didn't know how to write a joke. I think I'd only been to a comedy club 2 times in my whole life before that. It felt like I was asking, if not law, what should I do? And it felt like this kind of direct guidance from a higher power to go do this. And I'm telling you, I was not qualified. I wasn't qualified, but I had made a commitment. And I think commitment's so powerful. I had made a commitment that I was going to listen for the signs and, inner guidance. I call them, in my book, I call them soul nudges. Okay. Nudges from this kind of deeper, wise self that we all have. And so I had to go for it. And one of my daughters still makes fun of me saying, Mama, you were running around the house saying you were going to be a stand-up comedian. You were acting crazy. And that's what happens sometimes when you get this strong, powerful urge to do something different. And most of us just go, what, me? I can't do that. I can't tell you how many people, Doug, told me, that's amazing that you did that. I could never do that. And I was like, yes. And I still say, yes, you could if you really wanted to. Because what I learned from that experience, and I went on to do it for 2 years, I was emceeing gigs in casinos in the Seattle area. I mean, I could have kept going if I wanted to, but I didn't want it. Back then, people could smoke in bars and hanging out with road comics. They weren't really my tribe. So I didn't stay in it. But what I learned from that experience was, that even, you know, we are more than our resume. We are more than our credentials. We have our desire to step out and grow and expand and do more than we ever thought we could do is powerful. That will draw to us amazing things. And what it drew to me was everything I needed to be funny, which is amazing. And I learned that we just are so much more than we think we are. We have so much more available to us when we make that commitment, and then we allow ourselves to just watch for things like signs on the back of a bus, you know, I mean, license plates. In California, there are so many vanity yes. license plates. Yes. They're always speaking to me. But just things that you see everywhere, it's like your soul speaks to you in metaphor. It's not literal. But, you know, when people start asking the question, well, what would bring me more passion? What would bring me more meaning into my life? And then they open up to seeing and being communicated to in different metaphorical ways, amazing things can unfold.
Wow. So after 2 years of doing that,
So after 2 years of doing that, I asked the question again. Okay, it's not stand-up comedy. These aren't my people. Now what? And I was drawn to a training in expressive arts therapy. I've always loved the arts, and it was all different art modalities for healing. So I did that training, and as that teacher showed us, it was kind of a coaching program, but more using just different arts, writing and art as healing, visual arts, movement. And as I did that, I watched her facilitate the group, and I thought, I could do this. And so I just started facilitating groups out of my living room with the moms of my kids' friends. And it just grew from there. Then I took a coaching training after that. Then I started doing classes in, you know, community colleges and at the University of Washington. And it just kept growing organically.
Wow. So the power of being willing to make a change.
And, yes.
And not only, you know, half the problem is listening, being aware of what's speaking to you, what you are passionate about, what you want to do.
Yes.
But you mentioned your daughter teasing you about, hey, Mom, you're not funny. We all run into that when we try to do something different. People with perfectly good intentions are right there to tell us, oh, that's not you.
That is such a good point, because people are afraid, you know, fear comes up for everyone, and the people that are really close to you sometimes are more afraid than, right?
Yeah, because they're protecting you.
Yeah, and how is this change going to affect my life, right? What if you embarrass me? All those things that are not necessarily conscious fears on their part, but yeah, you're right. People do want to protect other people. Oh, yeah. I had all kinds of people say, well, I would come and see you. One lady said, I would love to come and see you, but what if you bomb? I was like, don't be more afraid for me than I am.
Wow. Oh, that is a powerful story. I am not going to forget that one. You know, and I love it. We've talked a number of times recently about storytelling, and that is a great story. That is a wonderful story.
Thank you. Well, I feel blessed to have had the experience and to have had the courage come up in me, because I think that's what courage does. I think we think, you know, I'm not courageous enough, or, you know, I'm not bold enough to do this, that, or the other thing. And I feel grateful now. I think it was almost like I was possessed, you know, by this power that just said, you're going to be okay. We're going to help you. And I think this is interesting. I would get my ideas for joke material just as I was waking up in the morning, before I was fully awake. Things would just come to me, and I'd have my journal by my bed and I'd write them down. So anyone who's listening, you know, when you start asking those questions of like, what would bring me passion? Because we're always growing and changing. So I don't think there's anyone on the planet, unless they're just right in the middle of something new right now, I don't think there's anyone who wouldn't like more passion, more of that creative spark and joy. Keep a journal by your bed and just keep asking the question for whatever it is that you want. And then just notice when you start to get ideas and just write them down. That's the beginning.
Great. That is powerful. Well, okay, so now we're kind of up to the current time. So tell us what you do now. What do you do? Who do you do it with? How do you get your clients? You know, all those mechanics.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm a transformational coach. I help people create soulful success in their lives. And to me, what soulful success is, you know, we all want to succeed. And most of us were trained in the paradigm of struggle and strife to succeed. I don't know about you and your upbringing, but my dad was a self-made man. He was an entrepreneur, and he was a workaholic, and he was always working, and he was always working really hard. And what I, you know, and he's a wonderful man, really funny, very loving, but I used to watch him, and as kids do, we watch our parents and our teachers to see what they do, and that's how we learn. And I used to watch him and notice that he was stressed out most of the time. And even though he was passionate about his work, I got this feeling from him that work is hard, work is a struggle, getting ahead is elusive, even though he was successful in what he did. And so, you know, I was kind of raised with that, and I took that into my career, even this career that I'm doing now, which is all about helping people find their passion and helping them move through their stress. I do a lot of that and helping them make transitions in career and relationships. But a couple of years ago, I realized that I was starting to get burnout, even though I was doing my passion.
Really?
And it was subtle, but it was enough for me to question and say, why am I striving to, you know, grow my business, et cetera? Why is the energy of how I'm doing this striving instead of ease and grace and flow? And that's what I really want. That's how I want to feel. And that's what we all want. And so it was a huge gift because it made me step back and really look at my own behavior and see how I was being a perfectionist in the way that I approach my work, and that I was approaching it with this idea of I need to, and it was very unconscious for most of the time until I woke up to it, that I have been striving rather than, you know, fully enjoying, still really enjoying my clients, always enjoying my clients, always enjoying once I would start teaching a workshop, because I give a lot of workshops or speaking, but the actual marketing and all of the other things that we do when we do this kind of work. So the blessing from that is that I shifted how I work, and I call it soulful success. And what soulful success is sourcing your success from the inside. So I think of soulful success as letting go of struggle and strife and allowing that deeper, wiser part of you that I just mentioned before to partner with you, really. And my book is about that. My book is about partnering with you, what I call your soul. You could call it your, you know, inner muse. People call it their fairy godmother. You can call it anything you want, but it's that deeper, wiser, really creative, really imaginative, and powerful part of us that we can partner with so that we don't feel like we're doing this all alone and we don't feel like it's hard and a struggle.
Okay. You know, while you're talking about your book, The Magic of Saying Yes?
Yes.
Where do they get it? Where do I get it? I haven't read it yet.
Thank you. It's on Amazon.com.
Okay.
And it's easy to get it that way. Just go to Amazon, right. The Magic of Saying Yes, Answering Your Heart's True Calling.
Hardcover, paperback, Kindle?
It comes in Kindle and paperback.
Perfect.
And it's, let me just say too, that it's a workbook as well. So I include a number of exercises in there, and I purposely left room for people to write directly in the book the answers to their questions, because I want this to be a companion. It's really, people can do it as a course. They can do it with a friend. I did a similar course with a friend who lived clear across the country. So you can do it with a friend. I have book groups that do my book. Oh. I have one book group that I went and spoke with, and if anybody wants me to come talk to their book group, I'm happy to do that. And they were actually doing the book for a second time.
Oh, wow. So it's that speaks highly of it.
So it's one of those books that no matter how many times you do the exercises, you get new things every time, which I think is cool.
Okay. So you said most of your work is in groups, workshops?
No, I do some workshops, but I do a lot of one-on-one coaching and counseling. Yeah, a lot of one-on-one, and I work with, I used to be an attorney, as I said, so I work with former attorneys, or attorneys who are, people who are attorneys now, other professionals. I work with CEOs, work with a lot of independent business owners.
Okay, so who's your ideal client? What does the client come to you for? What's the problem they're looking for you to help them solve?
It varies. And, you know, some people are just, they want more meaning and fulfillment in their work. And they're not sure, right now I'm working with an attorney, and I work with attorneys all the time. Can I stay in my practice and keep doing what I'm doing, but just, you know, rekindle the passion that I had for this? Or do I need to let it go? And if so, what could I do next? And so that's always really fascinating to help people with that passion search like I went through, and then help them. You know, I see people all the way through to actually creating a new business or getting a new career sometimes. But interestingly enough, a lot of people think they're going to leave their career when they come and start working with me, and they end up staying in it, but just working on their inner world, so to speak, so that they can enjoy what they do more.
You know, I think that's a really powerful observation, because people tend to think if they're not happy with what they're doing, they have to go find something else to do.
Right.
And they just drag along the same way of looking at things.
That's very true.
To the new field. And so I love to hear that you, in fact, you know, a lot of your clients are just changing their perspective on what they're doing.
Absolutely. And you're so right, Doug. You know, we bring who we are to whatever we do, right? We bring ourselves to wherever we move. We can't escape ourselves. So
whether it's invited or not.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, patterns of, you know, perfectionism, for example, I see that in a lot of my clients. Those are the things that are helpful to work on so that people can just experience more joy in what they do.
Okay. Anything else about what you're doing now before I shift gears here?
No, let's shift gears.
Okay. All right. So, question that I've asked every guest I've ever had on the show, and I've gotten a different answer every time.
Mm.
So, hold your breath. Don't jinx me. Is, you know, what is your guiding principle? What's your true north? What holds you steady no matter what?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, my guiding principle, which I'm drawing on right now, coming up within this moment, you know, I think it's a lot what I said before, soulful success, that we all want to have success, but it needs to be sourced from a deep inner place of our own, that's sourced in our values, our integrity. Integrity is everything to me, and integrity just means that you are living true to yourself. You're living true to who you are. I have a quote that I would love to offer,
sure,
if that's
please.
Okay, in alignment with this.
Yeah.
And that is a quote by the theologian Howard Thurman. And I'll look at it so I don't forget it. So he says, "There's something in every one of you that waits and listens for the voice of the genuine in yourself. And if you cannot hear it, you will all of your life spend your days on the ends of strings that somebody else pulls."
Ouch.
I love that quote.
Yeah.
I love that quote because it's saying, you know, in order to be happy, we have to be true to ourselves. And I guess maybe that's my guiding principle, is how are you being true to yourself in your work, in your relationships, in your life? And if not, what needs to shift in order to stay true to yourself? Because another Howard Thurman quote, he says, "Don't ask what the world needs, ask what brings you alive, because what the world needs are more people who have come alive."
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's shorter and I can remember.
That's
but
true.
I may have to get those from you. Those are very good quotes.
Yeah, I love those too.
Well, you know, that's a great guiding principle. And again, you've got one that I haven't heard before.
Oh, so cool.
Thank you very much. Well, look, the producer's waving at me. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back and talk about perfectionism. And we're back listening to Betsy, and we're going to get right into the heart of today's topic now, which is, what is the topic here? The topic is free yourself from perfectionism. That sounds like that's a bad thing. Come on. Aren't we all striving for perfectionism?
There's that
hit
word
me
striving.
Between the eyes.
Oh gosh. You know, that I'm so glad you started with that perspective, because I remember when I used to go to interviews for law jobs, and probably for every job now that I think of it, and they would say, there's the question of what is your weakness? Like you not? And I would always answer, well, I'm too much of a perfectionist. And I knew in my mind that I was selling myself, honestly, and that everybody would value, you know, a perfectionist on the staff,
sure.
Right? Why not? How is that a bad thing? Well, now that I am a coach and I realize that our own well-being is the foundation of our lives and our success, perfectionism actually really is a detriment to our well-being. And that changed everything for me in the way that I looked at it. And growing up, my mom would always say, oh, Betsy, you're such a perfectionist. You know, it really bothered her. and so I kind of took on that idea that this is a problem. But really, I knew that in the business world, it would be something that people would appreciate. The thing about perfectionism is that it comes from a feeling that on some level, and a lot of us are not conscious of this, it comes from a feeling that no matter how well I do this, it's not good enough.
Yes.
I have to do it perfectly. And that's because, let's face it, we grew up in a system with, you know, our school systems and our, you know, our employment systems. Everything is based on a reward and punishment system. So you go to school, and if you're doing well, you get an A. I always wanted to get the, I don't know about you, Doug, but I always wanted to get the A's. I was big on, you know, I liked the way that A looked, especially if there's a little plus by it, then I even liked it more. And yet I found in college, for example, that I got really good grades, but I didn't know for a while in college what I actually wanted to study. So my focus was on the extrinsic. It was on what was outside of me. It was external. It was what's going to get me the A? I need to get the A. Meanwhile, I didn't fully know myself. What did I want to do? What did I love? And that's what this idea of when we focus on excelling instead of what intrinsically we love, what we value, what brings us joy, we end up feeling striving and working hard and maybe producing really great work, but then feeling empty afterward.
And isn't part of what you're saying the word striving, which I use, and
yes,
and also the, you mentioned something that perfectionism that really can't be attained.
You know, exactly. Unreasonable standards. Unrealistic standards.
It's all about working towards duplicating somebody else's standard.
Exactly. And so it's like the quote that I read earlier when you asked about my guiding principle. It's you know, spending my days on the ends of strings that somebody else is pulling. So someone else is telling me, this is what I expect of you. And if you meet it, I will give you approval. I will give you all the wonderful external things that you want. Well, that's all wonderful, except that we need more than that to be happy. We need to actually enjoy what we're doing. It needs to come from a deeper place within us of, I like to say, we need to look at what is our why. Why are we doing it? Are you striving because you want to get someplace in the future? That's true for a lot of us. We have an outcome that we want to reach in the future. But of course, we know from, you know, so many ancient spiritual practices that true fulfillment comes from being present in the now.
Yes.
So when we're focused on what we can get in the future, if we do A, then we'll get to B, and then maybe we'll make it to C, we can miss our life.
You know, I have spent so much time in business is basically focused on the future. To
yes.
a great extent. It's all, as you move up in management, it's always about the strategic plan. It's always about planning. It's always about setting the goals.
Yes.
And to the point where when I would walk away from my business day, I couldn't stand to plan my personal life.
Mm.
I was so tired of the pressure to set some goals that I really, relaxation for me was enjoying the present of just being there.
Wow,
so it came.
Yes.
It came down to, I would find myself on vacations, on a plane going someplace, and I had done no research on it. Barely knew where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to enjoy the time I was spending away.
And that's your soul guiding you. That's what I would call a soul-inspired life. That's soulful success. That's saying, I trust that I'm going to be guided and led. And, you know, it's not, obviously you made your travel plans and all of that, so you don't completely let go of goals. But to me, you doing that was you, you know, instinctively going for the nourishment that you needed.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, so, let me just make one clarification,
sure,
though, about goal setting. Because I think, you know, our minds think in duality. So the mind says, well, it's either goal setting or it's being in the moment, and I can't have both. And that's not really true. What soulful success is and what releasing perfectionism is saying, yes, I have goals. These are the things that I would like to accomplish. However, those goals are inspired goals. They're coming, again, they're coming from a different source. They're not coming from, this person says I have to do this, this, and this in order to be rewarded. They're coming from, this is really what I want to do. This feeds me. And coming from that place, you have a whole different experience of it. So it's great to set goals. You just want them to be inspired goals.
Yeah, I can't live by giving up the goals. I can't live it. It's not either or.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
but at the same time, it is a matter of, as you point out, the goal needs to be your goal.
Yes.
For it to be really meaningful, for it to be really inspiring, for you to really dedicate yourself to achieving it, in my mind, it has to be your goal. Somebody else can dream it up, but you've got to buy into it.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you are not being true.
So true. And that's why I think businesses are well served. And I think enlightened business leaders would say, if somebody sat down in the chair like me when I was younger and when I was in my 20s and I said, my weakness is perfectionism, and I was sitting across from an enlightened business leader, he or she might say, well, you know, how is that serving you? And might actually be curious about it and not say, oh, that's awesome. Good for you. You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think I get heartened when I think of businesses thinking in new ways and realizing that perfectionism actually hinders employees' productivity. And it doesn't necessarily serve the company.
You know, I don't know that I ever hear that in the business world. Okay, but I hear other things. I hear other things that I think are saying the same thing, but different terminology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the big term today is transparency in business.
Yes.
It's inclusionary, which to me really says that, are the goals we're setting, is the plan we're developing, is it going to serve everybody? Does everybody
yes.
see their part in it?
Yes.
Which
I like
is
that.
What I hear you saying.
Yes, and like you said earlier, does everyone have buy-in to this?
Absolutely.
And is everybody being served and winning and being fed by this? And obviously that's a fluid process.
It is
but,
the very one.
Yes.
Very
yeah.
Okay, so we are not telling people out there, forget your goals, don't do any goal setting.
Yes, but you're right, we're not.
What are the ways in which perfectionism is showing up as a detriment? Or what are the things that you're helping people to avoid?
Good question. So as all perfectionists will relate to, perfectionism leads to procrastination. So since I'm a recovering perfectionist and I work with perfectionists all the time, I have direct firsthand experience of this. You might get an inspired idea that's very exciting and you can't wait to do it, and then all of a sudden it just feels like drudgery and weight and heaviness, and you don't understand why you're not actually acting on the thing that you were excited to do. And it's because in your mind, unless you can do that thing perfectly, then it's not worth doing at all. And it actually might cause you pain if you fail. So perfectionism causes us to procrastinate. It makes us not want to take risks. And of course, risk taking is important in any creativity, innovation, and in the business world or in our personal lives. We need to be able to be creative. That's what makes us happy. So those are a couple of things. And, you know, I could give you a whole list. But basically, what perfectionism does is it keeps us from living with full vitality. It keeps us from our happiness, and it keeps us from, you know, a lot of times perfectionists are just living in their heads. And I have that, having been trained as a lawyer, you know, it's most lawyers walk around with a lot going on in their minds. So we don't innovate in our heads. We don't come up with new ideas and possibilities that invigorate us in our minds. We come up with those things when we're living embodied in our bodies and we're connected to our wisdom that's in our gut and our heart.
For me, those things only come up when I am communicating with others. I cannot be creative alone in a vacuum. My creativity is tapped into by this conversation.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's awesome.
You know, and once I realized that, it made a big difference about how I started creative projects. And I just wanted to mention, what you reminded me of is that as a perfectionist, it many times leads to procrastination.
Yes, it does.
Because I know as a perfectionist, I don't have enough time to do this project the way it needs to be done, which is perfect. So therefore, I won't do it.
Right.
Or I won't start it.
Yes.
Rather than recognizing that does this project, what is the level of perfection that is necessary here?
Yeah, and a lot of, you're bringing up such a good point, because a lot of times if we just did it, we would, you know, going back to the universe will provide us resources, time, etc. when we commit to something. If we just committed to it and then rather than thinking we know exactly how it's supposed to go and all of that, which, you know, the mind thinks it does, but we stay open and we stay open to receiving guidance, etc., then a lot of times we will receive aid, assistance, support in a lot of different ways so that we can get a lot more done in less time than we think. And something, you know, just because you want this beautiful, sparkly, glistening website that's state of the art and all of that doesn't mean that you can't create one that maybe isn't quite in your idealist, you know, mindset head, that you would still be really happy with. It would take maybe half the time.
And you know, I'm sort of reminded of, are you familiar with Pareto's 80-20 rule?
It sounds familiar, but refresh my memory.
Pareto's 80-20 rule, if you can believe it, he was an Italian economist. Now, there's an oxymoron.
Uh-huh.
But he, way back when, came up with the theory that no matter what you measure, that 20% of the activities produce 80% of the results.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, and I have seen this in businesses that I've analyzed, everything from their sales to their profits to whatever. So any business, you take a look at their customers and you invariably will find that 80% of the revenue is coming from 20% of the clients.
Mm-hmm.
Which says that when you are working on something, if you recognize the 80-20 rule, perfectionism is wasting your time with 80% of the people that are only producing 20% of your results.
Wow, that's quite an insight.
So, I mean, that's what I take from this comment on perfectionism. It is just the opposite of using this 80-20 rule, which says, what is good enough? What is serving
yes.
the majority?
Yes.
Now, if we're doing heart surgery, then maybe perfectionism is necessary. But in the business world, most of the time, we're not doing heart surgery.
And things get, yeah, exactly, and things get changed all the time. I mean, that's the thing we forget. The perfectionist part of us does not realize and remember that life is fluid, that everything is a work in progress. Your life is a work in progress. Your work is a work in progress. Your relationships are.
Yeah.
And if we can approach it from that that view, then I think we would relax a lot more and enjoy ourselves a lot more.
The other thing I wanted to ask you is that I hadn't thought about this till we were talking just now, and that is that perfectionism is sort of a personal trait. It's how I would behave. It doesn't necessarily fit well with group behavior.
Mm-hmm.
At least, now correct me, but in today's business world, we hardly ever do anything alone.
Yes.
Everything is team oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work with other people.
Mm-hmm.
The complexity of projects are such that it's not left to one person, which must put a tremendous strain on the perfectionist trying to get the rest of the group to adopt to their perfectionist tendencies.
Well, that's a really interesting question. I think perfectionists definitely want to have as much control as they can, but the thing is that a lot of us aren't conscious of, you know, a lot of perfectionists will say, well, yeah, I want things really, you know, I have a high standard of excellence. They won't necessarily say I'm a perfectionist, but you're right. I mean, the more flexible we are, the more that we listen to other people, the more that we open up to the idea that we don't need to have all the answers. I mean, that's a great amount of freedom for anyone that feels like they're striving in their life rather than letting life carry them. Being in this kind of flow of a river, we would all want to experience that in our daily life. We don't have to do it all by ourselves. We're not doing this alone. I think the perfectionist mindset is, I have to do this all by myself. I'm the one who has the answers. I mean, that is exactly what was droned into all of us in law school. Don't ask for help. You know, you have all the answers, and it's a weakness to, you know, to ask others. But you're right. And this, the current business world, that's one of the enlightened things about it, is that people know that there's wisdom and creativity and innovation and teamwork.
Yeah. Do you have any, can you share, I mean, obviously not who, but can you share any stories about successes that you've had? What people really struggled with and how you helped them with it?
Yes, I'd love to. Well, there's one person in particular a former client comes to mind who, I won't use his real name, we'll call him Steve. And he came to me, he's a top performing, had been a CEO of a company, transitioned from that, was doing something else, and felt like he wasn't using his full power and his skills and all of that. So he came to me originally for that, because he, you know, basically wanted to transition to a different position. But interestingly enough, what ended up coming out was he confided in me that he had been in a very wasn't an unhappy marriage, but it was just a passionless marriage. It was, he said, my wife is like my best friend, but we've never had passion in our lives. And he said, in fact, we've been living in separate states for many years. And so basically they were separated, but they never talked about being separated. and so in the meantime, he had had an affair and he'd had all this guilt and shame about that. And that guilt and shame that he was having about that was kind of infecting every aspect of his life. And it was keeping him from, accomplishing his goals in his work. And so what I did was work with him to connect to the part of him, and this is what I do with a lot of my clients, deep internal work, to connect to the part of him that didn't feel loved, appreciated, and accepted. And, I think we all have a part of us that with our parents have done the best they could, our teachers have done the best they could, but all of us could have used, I think, a little bit more nurturing parenting. And so what I did with him was do a series of guided visualizations. And I'm going to give those guided visualizations to everyone who signs up to be on my mailing list as a free gift. So we can talk about that later. But anyway, I did these deep visualizations with him, allowing him to connect with this inner spark within him that held his creativity, that this part of him, you could call it a child part. I know a lot of people kind of bristle when you say the term inner child, but helped him to connect with this inner child of his and give that part of him love and acceptance. And through that process, he realized, he came to me, we had one breakthrough session one day. He came to me, called me on the phone and said, I just had a breakthrough. He said, I realize that I have been living by everybody else's rules and not my own. He said, it's like I've been in the self-imposed prison, and I thought that I had to follow these rules and that they held the key to my freedom. But he said, I realize I have the key and I can let myself out of this jail. I can, face the truth about my marriage, which he did. And, they both ended up deciding mutually that it was best that they part. And he said, it wasn't fair to her to keep holding on to that either. He let go of the affair. His marriage was dead anyway, and he let it go. And then he wrote to me and said, I'm in a new company. I'm CEO and president. I'm thriving, and I just published this book on peak performance. And he was a completely new person.
Wow.
And it came from him realizing that he was the one who's holding the key to his happiness. And doing this deep inner work with him with these guided visualizations, it was also really powerful.
Okay, two things here. Let me make a note so I don't miss the second one. One, you mentioned the free gift. Let's get that out there. Okay. Audience, listen.
Absolutely. So I have an audio CD called Guided Meditations for Awakening Your Passion. It has three tracks on there, and one is for manifesting your dreams. One is for self-nourishment, healing, as I mentioned with this client, healing your inner child. And the other one is just for grounding and being present in the now. And the way they can get it is to go to my website, which is betsygutting.com, BETSYGUTTING.com. Click on the little button. There's a little reddish-brown button that says sign up for newsletter. It's right above the Facebook button. It's on the left-hand side of the homepage, really small. Reddish-brown button. It'll say sign up for newsletter. Click on that, and you will get an email with the link to this audio CD, Guided Meditations for Awakening Your Passion.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's my joy. I love sharing this because that particular CD has catalyzed breakthroughs for a lot of people. So,
the other thing I wanted to mention is that you refer to yourself as a transformational coach.
Yes.
Okay. Which sounds more in the life coach kind of arena. And yet, as I'm listening to you talk about the work that you do with people, I'm thinking that the business clients that I work with could benefit from the same kind of coaching. So can you speak to, is there a hard line between what you're doing and working with individuals or working with businesses or working on, talk about
that a little
bit.
It's a great question because, as you and I both know as coaches, you know, a lot of times people will come to you for one thing, like their business situation in their business, and then they realize there's something else going on that's even taking up more importance, and then it allows the thing that's going on in their business to resolve itself. Or so I work with people on all levels. I have a client right now that's been working with me for 4 years on and off, and she's an independent business owner, and I've helped her with all kinds of issues regarding her business. I help a lot of people with communication and how do they have difficult conversations, and that of course includes significant others. It includes coworkers and colleagues and supervisors and employees. And so yeah, I work with people on whatever it is that's going on with them, from the personal to the business, and I love that. I love being somebody's right hand kind of go to person.
Okay. Because I think there is a tendency in the coaching world to sort of draw this line between
yes.
life coaching, business coaching, and as you and I have talked, I mean,
yes.
that line really doesn't exist in the real world.
Yes, and I agree. I mean, we're holistic beings. Every area of our life affects the other areas of our life.
Okay.
And once you establish trust with someone, right, clients want to be able to work with you on whatever's going on with them.
And I love the fact that you give an example of a client that's been working with you on and off for 4 years. That speaks highly of your coaching skills.
Oh, thank you.
Really?
It's my joy. I love it when I work with people on a long-term basis.
So what is the perfectionist tendency? Because you said you're a recovering perfectionist.
Yes.
You know. So what is the perfectionist tendency that you have to struggle with?
You know, I think it's when I forget the reason that I'm here. My mind, I call it the ego mind. The ego mind thinks that we're here to get it right, that we're here to do this thing perfectly. And if it doesn't go right, that somehow everything is hinging on this one project. But of course, we think that for every project. That's how my mind is wired. And, you know, we can talk about where I got the wiring, but it doesn't really matter. So what helps me is to remember that that's not really why I'm here. That's not why we're all here. We're here because this is what some people refer to as Earth School. We're here to learn and grow and expand and remember who we really are, which in my experience is so much more than we think we are. That's how did I do stand-up comedy? Because I tapped into something that I didn't know even existed in me. So, you know, when I used to do comedy, I would have an amazing show. Everyone would be laughing. I would just be floating on air after. And all of a sudden, that perfectionist voice would come in and start saying, do you remember you said that thing? That was really dumb. Do you remember when that happened? Do you remember when those people in the front row didn't laugh? That's what my mind does.
Ouch.
it brings in all of that. But that was a great catalyst, doing that comedy, because I started to realize then, look what this inner critic is doing to me. It's time to work with the inner critic and start bringing in a nurturing voice and cultivating a nurturing voice, which everybody can do. We can all begin to you know, it's like these little pep talks we can give ourselves. And we can start creating another voice within us that is a lot more loving and affirming and truthful, because there's a lot for all of us to celebrate about ourselves.
You know, and I think that it reminds me, the biggest struggle I had when I left corporate America and started my first business
mm-hmm.
by myself
mm-hmm.
was that while I was coming up in a corporate environment, I was constantly getting reinforcement and praise and acknowledgement for what I did.
Mm.
When I started my own business, there was nobody else.
Right.
When I did something really well, nobody saw it. Nobody heard it. The
right.
tree falling in the wood. It was really difficult to live without that reinforcement, because I had lived and fed off of other people's acknowledgments,
yes,
not my own.
That is such a good point. Yes. And feedback is wonderful. Let's face it. It's wonderful to get that from other people.
I still want it.
Don't we all? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a way that people see you and validate what you're bringing to the world. And that's beautiful. But what an important point that you make. I guess a lot of us who are doing our own consulting and all of that are part of that path is to value and affirm and validate ourselves even more.
Well, and I think it picks up on this perfectionist thing, because the perfectionist in me wanted other people to recognize.
Absolutely. Yes. It's a great observation.
Rather than, as you put it, recognizing what is my own motivation, personal.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Like, if you enjoyed what you did, why do you need someone else to tell you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet, I just think it's a natural human tendency.
Oh,
we all want someone to gather around and say, good job, that's awesome. So sometimes I do that to myself. I say, good job, Betsy.
Well, luckily, my wife keeps me. She says, good job.
That's wonderful.
Okay, so we're getting close to the end here. What else do you want to share with the audience that you haven't had a chance to talk about yet?
You know, I think I just want to let everybody know that if they are struggling with perfectionism, it is something that they can heal and transform, and that there are lots of tools to do that. If they pick up my book, then they'll find lots of wonderful tools, and they can work it with a friend or a group and start to bring more nurturing, more positive validation into their mindset. And this really is something that we can transform. We don't need fixing. We don't need more improvement. We just need more self-nourishment and more acceptance of who we are.
Wonderful. And how do people get a hold of you?
My website, BetsyGutting.com, is a great resource. Like I said, they can sign up for my newsletter if they want. Reddish button above the Facebook button on the homepage. And I'm on Facebook. I love posting things. I'm always posting inspirational things on Facebook. So please find me on Facebook, Betsy Gutting JD. I think those are some good ways.
Okay. You're not using LinkedIn?
No, I'm on LinkedIn too.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
On LinkedIn too. I'm just curious.
Betsy Gutting on LinkedIn. No, that's great. Yes.
Well, Betsy, thank you very much for being with us today. This is... I'm going to go home and stop correcting everything. Not going to happen.
Thank you so much for having me, Doug.
It's been very inspiring, and welcome to the Coaching Perspective Business Community.
Oh, thank you. It's just been so much fun to be with you. Okay. You're awesome.
Thank you. Well, look, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for shows with other great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for interesting people to talk to. Coaches, CEOs, HR professionals, anybody that can fog the mirror and maybe get a laugh while they're doing it, we're interested. Just drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show today and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas, new information, maybe even a new perspective that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective. The Coaching Perspective with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller.